Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, it's a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News Day.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I know.
Hi everyone, welcome to Right's House. Hope you are all safe and well. Today, we're going to be talking about Arsenal's win over Chelsea to stay top of the Premier League, England's right-back options for the World Cup, wins for Chelsea and Arsenal in the Barclays WSL, and finally, we're going to give some flowers to Tony Adams and Jill Scott. And my guests are Jeanette Kouachi.
Hello.
And Flo Lloyd Hughes.
Oh, hello, guys.
The ladies. Sisters.
Ladies.
Doing it for them.
We're here. We're in the studios, and I'm so happy because I got a cup.
Nice.
Yeah,
as soon as you came as well.
I was like, can I have a cup, please? Yeah,
they didn't be there 5 minutes. Say, I want a cup.
I want a cup.
How are you?
She had some free snacks. She's got a cup. She's ready.
I went to see Kendrick. Yeah, you know, Kendrick's very much about the art. You know what I mean? Don't go there for party vibes.
I saw him at Wembley Arena a couple of years ago.
Andre 3000 vibe is deep.
He's really into him. He's in his head. You know what I mean? Like, but he's good. He's a performer. It was good fun. But yeah.
Where was the show? Okay, I saw him at Wembley Arena a few years ago for the Damn tour, and that was really good.
That was
good.
Amazing. Now, he's amazing. He's a performer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yesterday was a bit like, wow, it's like theatre. Mm. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to get up and party.
Concept.
Yeah, I know. But party vibes over at the Emirates, though.
Party vibes, Jeanette.
Cheers!
You know the thing about it is that obviously you can understand that every day, because where Arsenal are, I'm getting a... I'm doing a sit down. Whether I'm walking down, going to the Tesco, whatever it is, people are pulling me. Mm. We're winning the league. I'm just trying to say, listen, you know what I mean? Every test that we've had up to this point, whether it's teams that we're supposed to beat and teams that we're supposed to beat that we didn't usually beat, and teams that we're going to go, oh, they'll get beaten by them and then we'll see what happens then. Like when we got beaten by United, they were saying, see, we told you. And then what happens is that you beat Liverpool. You beat Chelsea, you beat the other teams, what you've played, and then people say, yeah, but look at Liverpool. Liverpool, like, what they're going through at the moment. Liverpool, the worst I've seen. And then you beat Chelsea. Yeah, but look at Chelsea, because their manager's new and he doesn't know what the system to play in that. So there's no credit to what this young team is doing.
Put some respect on their
name. They need to put
name.
A little bit of respect on it, simply because I think there's a mindset change there. We can see that's happening.
But I feel the opposite. I feel like people are actually talking really positively about Arsenal.
No, yeah, but it's only Arsenal.
Maybe
people,
it's just because people want to troll you.
I don't think they want to troll. No, think it is Flo. They because are genuinely feeling like, oh my God, is this happening really quick for us?
Yeah.
And we're all of a sudden, we're top of the league and we know that Man City are this massive monster cloud over us. Can we do it? The thing is that you look at the team, they seem to be taking each game as it comes.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you can do. We're gonna get tested with injuries. I know that, you know. But in the main, they've answered every question.
They've answered every question. That feeling though, that perpetual feeling as an Arsenal fan where you actually feel like it might fall down at any minute, that's subsiding slowly.
Well, I suppose it's just, I see what you mean. It's just, there's always the backdrop of Manchester City, their depth, Erling Haaland.
Always.
And it's like, well, even if Arsenal push as hard as they can and play as well as they are at the moment, like, you know, at the end of the day, if they can't beat City, can they win the league?
Can they win the
league?
And
that game got postponed, so we haven't got an idea yet going into the World Cup where they would match up against each other. So there's like so much still be, you know, answered.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what, ladies? Is that when I look at it and I look at what Arsenal do, all Arsenal have to worry about is like people constantly saying, oh, they can't beat the people in top six, is to beat the people in top six or not to lose.
Mm.
Because if you beat City, if you beat City now, then all of a sudden people say, oh my gosh. Now it comes down to, can you beat the others?
Yeah.
Because you know that City can, because that's what it's going to come down to with Arsenal. If Arsenal don't lose against City, City kind of like...
It's just about not losing.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You have to, at some stage, you have to beat those top guys.
You have to. Because you want to be the best.
Yeah, because then what happens is it kind of eases you into, okay, now we've got Southampton who are going to get a new manager and are they going to be resurgent? You know, you look at Villa under Unai. All of a sudden, you go to those places, that's where the test comes.
And you can't be complacent. You can't look at those teams and think to yourself, okay, cool, we beat one of the big six.
Mm.
And then you try and think to yourself, okay, we can have an off week or we could be down.
You can't ever.
You can't, when you're going for the title, you have, or for at least for the top places, every single game you've got to be on job, whether it's home or away.
Mm.
And that's what we're seeing with the team. And when you say it's a mindset shift, it's really nice to see. And people do need to respect it because they're a young team.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Jeanette. And a young team. What happened last season, Jeanette? I think that stands them in good stead. I think they went through it, being in and around it for so long, the fourth. And now they're top. I think that's put them in a good mindset for what they're doing now. They're not getting ahead of themselves. And you're looking at, like, individual players. Like, you look at someone like Saliba and, you know, what, he's 13, 14 games in and... We saw a little bit of a mistake. When you consider 13 games in his first season in the Premier League after coming back after 3 years on loan, and people can only point at one thing when Firmino made that nice move against him, you have to say we're dealing with real elitism.
Yeah, man.
Here.
I'm into it.
I think we're dealing with elitism in what we... And people say, oh, 13 games, here he goes. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, why I think that the stock is high right now is BT Sport with Jake Humphries looking like he just rolled out of bed on Sunday. They had like the entire build-up was just about how good Arsenal are right now and how high Mikel's stock are right now. So I think the wider football world are seeing it, and they had Scott Parker going and about all the changes and how Arsenal look so good. So I think the respect is there, but I think it's more like the reality of what's going on in the background of the depth that City have and how well Newcastle are playing right now
Newcastle.
Now Newcastle are a team now. We're talking about top four, but then the way Newcastle are playing, you have to think of them as a top that you have to beat.
Mm.
Do you think anybody at the moment wants to go to St James's Park? You don't want to go there at the moment. So this is the test, and this is why I'm excited about it. And I think because we're doing so well up to this point and the way we've dealt with all the obstacles we've come up against, I'm excited for the team because whether it's this season, last season we saw with Newcastle and Tottenham, it kind of fell apart for us. Maybe it wasn't the right time, and obviously it wasn't, otherwise we would have beat them two teams. But this season, there's a different vibe about the team and a belief. And even when you see the way they were celebrating after the Chelsea win, because they themselves know that you have to go to these places. And you have to, you can't lose.
If you don't play that well, and they didn't play that well on Sunday. Yeah. And that was so important. A friend of mine, Jesse, messaged me saying, you know, how good Arsenal's record's been over the last couple of years at Stamford Bridge. And they were saying, oh, I was really hopeful going into this because Arsenal have always beaten Chelsea when Chelsea were the better team. And now we're crap this season. I'm hoping we were going to beat Arsenal. But alas, it's not the case.
No, it's not the case.
And I think that's what's so important. That's what that shows the growth is like Arsenal haven't been great over the last couple of weeks. It started with that game against Southampton when they looked tired. It continued into the Europa League performances and it was Leeds still game. There at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And I think what is so crucial is once you start winning games and you don't play that well, that is the sign of potential, I'm not going to say the C word, but like being up there. Because that's what City do. They did it against Fulham level.
If you're operating at about 70 to 80%, but you're still able to get a result, then that is territory that actually... It's a good place to be in, because when you're 90% or higher, then teams are looking at you and they're shook, they're scared.
And that's where they started the season. They started that season just absolutely blowing away teams. Yeah. But the reality is with the squad that they have, they're not going to be able to be consistent. But it's so important to get results like that. I think what was frustrating to watch is that Chelsea were absolutely there for the taking.
Yeah. Oh,
so to not be able to tap into that and come away with like a 3-0 win, slightly frustrating, but still the points are on the board. That it's a big win, and you know, they celebrated. Yeah. You know, it's important.
The thing is, before we talk about Martinelli, because I want to talk about Martinelli and him being in the squad, which I'm so pleased about, is we got to talk about Saka. The thing is that people say, oh God, protection, and the man is getting kicked to bits, man.
Why are they doing that to our boy?
He's getting kicked to
bits.
It's shit, it's horrible, but it happens
to the best players. They always get
just targeted.
You know what, you're looking at it, you know, and it's so I'm nervous. You know when he's playing, it's like, you know when you got your best player in your team, and like when he goes down, you're like, I'm literally like that now.
Same with Abiré Eze when he was at QPR that entire season. I was like, he never got injured until he went to Palace, but every single time he went down, like,
every time.
It's up to the officials to be consistent and set the boundaries early with all players, like not just Saka, but all players of that level who do inevitably get targeted. It's up to the officials to come in early.
A couple seasons ago,
and
it was Grealish, weren't it?
It's always
a stat. There's only been one booking for the challenges that's been on Saka this season. One.
Is that it?
To
one.
Ross Clark.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. If it's up to the officials to like recognise it as well in the game.
Yeah, and then I guess it affects his performance as well, because then he's thinking, right, they're out to get me. So rather than actually thinking of going for the challenges, going for the balls, being creative, he's trying to stay out of danger. So that then becomes...
With a World Cup on the horizon.
Exactly. Yeah. It becomes a challenge within itself.
Can you imagine as well? So we've got players... Because this is why the World Cup is a whole different podcast. I can't even imagine what it's like when you're like 9-10 days, maybe or something, whatever it is, 2 weeks away from the World Cup, and you're having to play at that level.
Put me in the fridge, man.
Honestly, it's just crazy.
Solo, Star Wars.
I'm just hoping that, you know, without people complaining, and you don't hear him complain. You know what I mean? Remember with Wilfred Zaha when he's saying, "What are they waiting for him to break my leg before they protect me?" We need to start protecting these players. It goes back as far as Maradona, bro. What they've done with Maradona, what they're doing with all those players, what they tried. This is why I look at someone like Messi and I think, my gosh, that man.
Yeah.
The way he's navigated these people trying to brutalize it.
All the time. Did you ever feel targeted?
No, but look, what happened when we were playing in our time, Jeanette, was you had a free tackle. You had a free go.
Just go for it.
So the first 5-10 minutes of the game, because you haven't been tackled yet, the defender can just come through.
Anyhow.
That's what Gary Lineker always used to talk about, you know. And Gary Lineker was the one who taught me to make sure just before you go out, just say to the referee, this one tackle
keep
business, you know what I mean? Yeah. Keep an eye. Because, you know what I mean?
One got protected in those days.
Referees would say...
When you see highlight reels of that...
The defender would fly through you. It'd fly through you. No matter how, you know, you have to make sure that you can jump in.
Jesus.
And then the referee would say, that's your one.
That's your one. Bro, you both just booked that guy.
That's your fucking one.
But also now, because of VAR as well, the off the ball stuff when you were playing was insane.
But
Now you can't get away with that.
I know, that's the thing. This is another reason
I couldn't
play that.
It's like elbows to the balls.
Because what I was doing to man.
See, exactly. I remember one time you're out here complaining. Yeah. You actually remember one time, dark arts over here.
Neil Ruddock. I scratched Neil Ruddock's neck so bad, his missus didn't believe he'd done it at football.
Like you're calling it dark.
I literally
shithousery, you know,
yeah. I used to grow my nails.
Come on now. So we're here complaining about Saka, but look,
honestly,
the tables have turned.
No, but the thing with Saka, I'm not just saying it simply because he's a player that we adore and he's an Arsenal player and we need him in England. The thing is just that I feel, and I'm using Saka as the example. We need to start doing more about protecting the players, because as quick as they're moving in that, the defenders and the people attacking them know exactly what they're doing in respects of bringing them down, slowing them down. You know, so I that's what worries me. They need to do something.
When's the final Prem weekend?
This weekend.
This weekend. Gosh. Can we now just move smoothly onto Martinelli?
Yeah.
And his inclusion in the Brazilian squad and what that means.
Monday morning. Mm. Everyone panicked. There were rumours all over Twitter.
Panic in the WhatsApp group, guys.
That he was not going to be picked.
And he got picked.
You know what? There was more discussion in the WhatsApp group about the Brazil squad than anyone talked about England in the last 6 months.
You guys were like, he's not made it. And then
people
when it actually
going
got announced.
I couldn't believe it. Brilliant. And then a justice, really.
Fantastic.
It's so deserved.
I think that, again, with what he's another one of the main reasons why Arsenal are doing what they're doing at the moment in the way he's playing. And this season, you know, and seeing him in the preseason and having a chat with him and looking to focus and what he wanted to do, he's actually doing it. He's better than I thought he'd be. He's like, and I know how much Klopp just loves him. I can't see anybody who wouldn't, because there's not a defender at the moment that he's come up against that he's not taken to the cleaners.
100%.
And when you look at how we've got that guy from what, the fourth division in Brazil?
And then here he is now.
But it's the way that we've developed him into, let's face it, Brazil, arguably one of the greatest international sides in the world. He came to us as a player that wasn't
in contention.
And his first few games now, in the first team, he wasn't that good.
No, and for us, but the way we've developed him,
he's grown
into being able to go into one of the greatest, like the greatest footballing nations, World Cup. That's got to be credit to Arsenal and what we're doing. And that will only make people who are looking in with their young players of real potential and say, he can develop there, they can do that.
And send them
there. You know, and then his dad, like his dad said, he's getting him ready for the 2022 World Cup. So when I heard that on Monday, when he was 11, he said that to him.
Oh.
So when I heard that on Monday that he's not going to make it, I thought, that just doesn't
feel... Yeah, because you spoke to him in the summer with Musa.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm talking about. When I saw them in the summer and how they were, and I remember coming back from that preseason, and I'm saying, there's something different. There's obviously Jesus was flying and doing his stuff in training. Zinchenko, everything was happening. I was thinking, something feels different. I'm so pleased that we're 13 games in and we're seeing it. And people like Martinelli, who needs to step up to where he is, because not just because of the World Cup, just because we need it to go to that place. Because now, we've got Saka.
Yep.
How much would he go for if we had to sell him? But Saliba. How much would he go for?
Yeah.
Martinelli. Yeah. How much would he go for? Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, Arsenal have got players that can go for hundreds of, maybe...
millions and millions and millions of pounds.
So this is something that I'm sure that agents would be looking in at Arsenal. And I remember saying it, and they started to deep fry me. I remember...
cook him.
I started to cook because I said... Listen, because I was chatting too much. I think I got excited. So I was at the training ground and I was speaking to Edu and Mikel. We had a little chat before I left. And what they were saying to me made me realise there's people waiting. Mm. And what you're seeing with Arsenal now, with this young team, with the development of the players, with what they're doing, how good Mikel is, it's going to happen.
The formula's there.
But you know what was so ridiculous about the Martinelli thing is he's been there and done that. He won a gold medal with Brazil at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal in that games. He's got that major tournament experience. There's some exciting young players who are part of that squad as well.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
And we have to mention Ben White.
Oh.
Benjamin.
Well, are we looking at... Look at him.
Look at Ben White. I like the way his socks got. Is that... I like the how high
his socks are. Can I ask you a question? Because my girlfriend thinks he's really fit, right?
Yeah.
He's too Love Island for me.
You think he's
Love
Island-y?
He's too tanned, tats,
I remember seeing
earrings, diamonds.
Can I be honest?
It's too Love Island.
I remember seeing him and his missus in Selfridges.
What are they buying?
You know when people look... And I didn't know what they were buying. They were in and around the trainers bit because that's where I saw them. But you know when you see a glow on people, there was like
a halo.
There's like a celebrity glow around them because...
constant.
I couldn't help but notice them how... They just looked beautiful, both of them.
I love that. I like seeing those kind of couples though, because they really did stand out.
And he's very quiet.
He's calm.
Yeah, he seems like quite a shy guy.
There's a calmness to him. I think all the people I've seen in respect of their squad, Ben White's in them.
Yeah.
And I think that when you look at the fact that maybe he could play on the right side of a three, he could play right back.
Yep.
You know, no one this season, everyone he's played against, no one has taken him.
They can't.
No one. I remember the way they, again, deep fried my guy with Brentford last season when same with Ivan Toney. And he never really done too much, but he just done a couple of things. Deep fried. And so this season,
it was
come.
Like 50 million yeah. for this.
Yeah,
and now
true.
Noyes has stopped with the 50 million because he's shown, and he should show, especially with the injuries that we've got, that he should be in that squad.
Okay, squad gets announced Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right back. That seems to be the problem. Everyone's talking about who goes.
Too many injuries.
I know, but who steps
stressful.
Up then? Well, obviously, Ben 100% has got to be in the squad. Ben White's got to be in the
squad.
Oh, he will
be 100%.
The thing with it is, Jeanette, is people talk about Kieran Trippier.
Mm.
Who, you know, he's a magnificent professional yeah. and a great player. They talk about him, yeah, Kieran Trippier's in it because he can play left back and right. Kieran Trippier is the best right back in the country at the moment.
100%.
Especially with no Reece James.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no argument about that. The benefit is that, yeah, okay, he can play on the left if need be, but on his own merit, he's the best right back. So he should be in there. I don't
squad.
Care what anyone says, right? Trent Alexander-Arnold should be going. Because, again...
I mean...
No, let me speak.
Let him land properly.
I'm about to put you in the air fryer.
Okay, I'm going back in the deep fryer. Because I'm all about special teams. I'll say the same about Ivan Toney. I'd say, if you're going to... It's like, let's go back to Beckham, 99. Yeah. You need somebody to put the ball in the right place so you have a chance to score. Beckham does it. The Greece, last minute of the game, whatever it was, to make us qualify. You need somebody that, if you're going to take somebody to a World Cup, and it happens all the time, players go to the World Cup, don't get a minute. If you're going to take somebody to the World Cup and he might not get a minute, then why not take a Trent Alexander-Arnold who can come on
just
and deliver that?
If you need
why
it.
Not take Ivan Toney, who, if you're going to take somebody who's just going to sit on the bench for the whole time at the World Cup, but he's a penalty expert, then why not
take
him?
Tony. I agree on Toney.
What's the problem with Trent?
I think the problem with Trent is...
Especially with the injuries.
I think the problem with Trent is I don't think he's going to be utilised in that way. I don't think Southgate trusts him. I think his form's been bad. I think his confidence is low.
His
I think it's the same with
shot.
Harry Maguire.
Yeah, confidence
the
is
issue
shot.
Is that Southgate will still take Maguire and he won't take Alexander-Arnold, but I don't think he should take Maguire either. I think players like
that's
that,
happen,
if they're low on confidence, they shouldn't be in an environment like that because it will be intense and tough. And I think when they're thrown on, even for a special teams, they won't have the belief there.
They're doing the most as well. So what will happen is you sit there on the bench, you'll be stewing inside because
exactly.
you're in your head a lot. You want to get out there.
You can't be like that
though,
Jeanette.
Yeah, but like, we
know
what
that. You're there for.
We know that. But then how do you tell a man that thinks that he should be on the pitch that actually you got to take a back seat here because...
Exactly. Whereas Ivan Toney is like a lottery winner. Like, whatever happens, he wants to be there, he'll make the most of his moment.
Trent knows what that feeling feels like to be part of a squad, a super squad. So when he's had to take a seat back now, people are like, oh,
No, Jeanette,
sure.
Because what you lot are underestimating is the character of the player.
Maybe.
Right? I know him. I know what he's about. And if he got picked in that guise, and I hear what you're saying about the confidence and coming on for that reason, and would he be able to perform because the pressures are... That all goes out the window because I think that he's done it before. He knows how to get himself into that place. And of course, it'd be the World Cup with a lot more pressure.
Yeah.
But I would rather place my marker on that than him not being there. And it's the same as I would do with Ivan Toney. I would take him.
Yeah, 100%.
What worries me about that is why would he be brought into the squad and not even get 5-10 minutes?
He has to play.
Because that's just what happens at major tournaments. And we've seen that with Southgate. We saw Serena Wiegman pull it off perfectly at the Euros. It's just what happens. It's just coaches get into a rhythm and they get into a routine and that's the pattern they want to do.
And they like it. They feel safe in that space. It's comfortable. They know they can win it. Do you know what? It's very, very similar to, you know, like you've got a relay squad, right?
Mm.
You've got six runners. You've got your strike four, though.
Right.
Your strike four, they're the ones. Every single time you step on the track, you in your head as a coach, you know that baton's going to get round.
Mm.
As soon as you maybe drop one of them out, there's an element of risk.
Mm.
So it's about, can the manager take that level of risk at that level, at a World Cup stage?
He has to, Jeanette.
Yeah, but
just like if
it
was the Olympics. Just like, what if it's the Olympics, Jeanette, and unfortunately someone got injured just before? You have to trust the person who's coming in
to be able to do it. I've seen
people with the baton and the pressure gets to them.
Yeah.
But what you want is somebody who's been in a pressurized situation who might be able to come on it if his mindset is right. Because remember, that group of players, they're very tight and there'll be a lot of support in and around. And if you can just accept the fact, okay, well, like me, I accepted the fact I was not starting for England, but I had a role to play.
But you were pissed off you weren't starting.
Yeah, but I was pissed off, but I still came on and scored, especially like Poland and
South.
You know what I mean? Because that is how...
I know, it's true. I kind of, I brushed past it like it didn't matter, but it really matters. Yeah.
Light flex.
I brushed past it like I didn't miss it, but I did. But the fact is that you want that chance, Jeanette,
so
come on, show them I can contribute to this team if it means coming off the bench.
So you think now, it's experience now. This is like, you're looking at someone like Trent Alexander-Arnold, you're thinking, right, not necessarily form, experience. Same with Harry Maguire, not necessarily form, but experience. They need to bring that though, and that confidence and that energy to that squad, because it's a fiery squad when they're ready. Like, don't bring a man that's going to bring the whole energy down because they're flopping or they're not on it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that.
Well, and that's what I'm worried about. The Nation League games we've had recently, like, the vibes are just
not great, are they?
That's what I'm worried about. And just, I don't see anything that excites me about watching England in this tournament.
Really?
I have low expectations.
Do you actually?
For England, really low expectations.
No, I don't, Flo. No.
Really?
Like,
she says that wearing her Germany shirt as well.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not getting too excited. Most major tournaments over the last kind of like decade, I've gone in being like, we've got a real shot. Obviously, 2018 and 2021, there was a spirit, there was an energy that felt different. I just don't have that.
You've got to have... the thing is, I go into every tournament hoping that we can do what we've done in Russia, regardless of how easy the draw is, or even with in the Euros, how easy the draw is. I always go in thinking, something's going to happen, we're going to be fine. You know what I mean? It's like... You know, something happens where we win the games or nobody plays unbelievable football from the start all the way through.
None of the group games in those two tournaments were particularly like exciting. No, they were all really like edgy, nervy, narrow
wins. It should
wins.
Be like that because you're trying to get through to the group stages.
You're not trying to be a hero.
I just think that the team has got the experience. They know what it's like to get through and get to the latter stages of a tournament. And I think that as much as we're playing... Just like when you see those Cup of Nations games, I don't business.
Yeah.
The players don't really business. That's not where it's going to happen for them. They know we want to get to the tournament and then we'll go from there.
I agree. I hope, man.
I know. I'm not feeling it.
Why?
No.
Come on, it's a World Cup.
It's just that vibe around the World Cup. And how England have been playing, and it just doesn't feel
the time of the year.
It just doesn't feel World special. Cup-ish.
I find
doesn't feel special.
Flo, I like what you said there about the overall vibe of it, and this is not for today, obviously, but I think that is that cloud that hangs over you, like in the cartoons in Wile E. Coyote. You know, the cloud of everything that's going on around it. It's kind of suppressed the energy for, because by now with a World Cup, can you imagine how excited everybody normally is?
There's activations, adverts,
right? And so
you're not feeling
that. Yeah. So we know it's coming, and everybody's like, "Oh God, what do I say? How are we going to do this? What's it going to be like to protest it?" And I think that's enveloping it. So it's very hard to just have that natural joy and can't wait for a World Cup.
You want the football to take
Messi's
over.
Messi's ready for.
Yeah, we haven't even had like the football taking over. People are excited about the actual
because
football
we're
itself.
Still playing our league grass
football. I'm actually really excited to see like Brazil and Argentina this World Cup. That's what really excites me because I think those are the two teams that I think
could really win it. So you look at Messi's story. This is probably Messi's last one.
Yep.
And I think he's got a team now that I think that could help him over if he does his messy stuff. And then you got Neymar, who's been like the prince
elect
for many
years. Yeah.
Is it going to happen? Because you know with Brazil, like I watched Phenomenon. Have you not seen it yet?
Not yet.
Well, you've got to watch it.
I need to watch it.
Knowing that like Brazil, R9, doesn't business about any other medal apart from the World Cup winner's medal. And Neymar, as much as he's won everything what he's won and he's amazing player and everything, he is in that same place, the same vicinity as Pele, as Ronaldo. He's the one, as Ronaldinho. And now it's Neymar. And he has to step
he
up.
He has to.
He has to step up into what...
And that
so
Brazil
much.
Squad is so good. Yeah. When you look at that squad on paper,
you, man,
it's ridiculous.
So it's going to be
there.
And
looking at that, I'm like, when I actually look at England's squad list, I'm like,
Jesus, Flo. You're
making
me, you're taking me there.
Man,
you know what
I'm
Flo's
sorry.
done?
sorry.
She's I feel
I
like
really
I'm
killed
a,
the
I
mood.
Feel like that I'm that fly that, no E, stay away from the light. And Flo saying, no, come with come me to the light. And that's I'm slowly just hypnotized, following Flo into the light.
Low man. Taking the jam out the donut.
Once the football starts, I'll be really excited. Right now, we're kind of in limbo where it's like I've still got my mind on domestic league stuff, yeah. But I'm supposed to get excited about tournament on the horizon.
When does it start? Like in 11 days?
It starts on the 20th. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh my gosh.
And then 26th, Boxing Day, league football, back.
Bam. Straight back.
Straight back. You know time to breathe.
That is
no
bananas,
time to think.
You know? That is like less than a week after the final.
Crazy.
Jeez.
And who knows what's going to happen over those weeks of the tournament.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
WSL, man, I watched the Chelsea-Man United game. And you know something with Man United? I don't know what's going to happen with those ladies. They got to get this mental block about the top. Because I was watching the game and Chelsea weren't great. And when you look at Chelsea weren't great. Chelsea's midfield was Fleming. It was Fleming,
Cuthbert, Harder.
Right. Yeah, but I'm talking about the main three were they're not the creative three.
No.
They're just the stoppers and they get Chelsea. I was surprised that with Katie Zellum, with Ella Toon, you know, Leah Gorton playing they don't get on the ball and
Wrighton, Ingle, Cuthbert,
that's
Charles
what it was.
All through the middle.
Right, and that's a very destructive.
Yeah.
I would say like midfield pairing, and I'm thinking, wow. When I saw that, I thought, yeah, Man United, they'll be able to play through this. Maybe get the ball to Lesia, and it didn't happen.
And all season, Manchester United have actually been really organised. Like what Skinner's done with them has made such an organised team. Remember the back end of last season? It was really light, and you could see
messy.
And now you're looking at a properly formed team. So I was expecting a lot more, but then the problem is, like you say, when you come up against a Chelsea side like this. They've got championship mentality, this Chelsea team. So actually, they'll step on and be like, okay, we might not be playing to our best all the time, but actually today, we're going to show you why we're Chelsea.
And they've got that individual quality 100%. That I think you see the real gap because United do have good players. Yeah. They do have good players, but their players, Alissa Russo coming back from a bit of time out with injury. Ella Toon, obviously a brilliant player, but there is a difference between that and Sam Kerr and Lauren James. And Sam Kerr hasn't even been in the best form this season.
Oh, no.
But those sorts of players can just switch it on. And Toon and Russo aren't necessarily at that level yet.
I saw it. To be honest, what I saw was, I think I put in the group of couples, Sam, she's very loose sometimes with her play.
To even stay on her feet too tough this game
I find that a player of that calibre, I just don't think a game, she doesn't keep it tight. She flicks, she lays off bad balls and she does stuff. But bro, when she runs those channels, and then when that ball came in, bam, she scored the next minute.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, well, that's what she's about.
It's consistency.
But that's what you, this is like you said, that block that United have. It's like they, every single season seems to go the same sort of pattern is they get a pretty favourable first few set of fixtures. They get loads of points on the board. They find themselves in and around the top. They're, you know, this season they haven't even conceded a goal yet.
Yeah.
But as soon as the big games come around, especially Chelsea, they have done well against Arsenal and City over the last couple of seasons. But especially against Chelsea, it all just falls apart.
Just
and then it's that reality check.
Yeah.
Last season at Lee, when they lost 6-1, about three or four of those goals were just defensive mistakes.
Yes.
And on Sunday night, same thing. Playing really well, really
it's
focused.
Yeah.
Slips, bit mistake
and
under no pressure,
everything
loose
goes to
pass
shit.
And everything falls. And that is the difference. That's that's a level that you know takes time to find, yeah. I think. And they every few seasons they've got a couple more players coming in, a couple of injuries, and it's like they haven't necessarily had a consistent base enough. Like, it is still sort of early in the project from how far they've come in a short space of time. But at the same time, like, they have got a good squad, and this season they do need to find themselves, in that third Champions League spot. Otherwise, because
have to.
City are there for the taking 100%, so they have to now break that barrier. Yeah.
She took her goal really well, Russo, the other day.
Yeah.
And it was one of those where don't give her a chance, she got the chance.
She took it.
And think if they continue to do that, you know, and not finish in the top three, they'll lose her. She'll go, because like you look at someone like Leon, you can see where she could probably go in with Egerberg with the injuries and stuff. They're looking at she could slot in. And so Man United have got to find a way, I don't know how they're going to do it, of getting over that mental barrier of beating those three teams.
They have to. The international break coming up.
Done it before. They beat Arsenal. They've beaten Arsenal.
Yeah, international break at the moment.
They just need to have more belief, because I was very disappointed with the way they played out. You know, they didn't, you know what I mean? They didn't.
It was slow. It was sluggish. Yeah. It was good after they got that goal back. Suddenly they kind of switched on for 10 minutes and the pace moved.
When they scored a goal, they
created opportunities.
You know, when you scored a goal and you think, oh, they scored now. Okay, let's see here it come. It didn't come.
I felt like there was a bit more urgency. There were a few more chances, a bit of pressure. But then Chelsea scored again, and it was just
And then
done.
Lauren James said, okay, cool. She just went on one. And excited am I to see her actually like playing so well, guys.
Yeah,
like,
I just love it so much.
She's just so cool and calm.
Unbelievable. She reminds me,
she had tweeted this a couple of weeks ago in the Villa game when she was unreal and scored two. Scored two, assisted two or something ridiculous. But anyway, she reminds me a lot of Abiri Eze in the way that she moves. It's like, you know,
very languid, really calm and controlled. Effortless.
And it's her personality as well though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very
like her personality is informal.
And you know, when she gets the ball, you can see the instant like respect from the person who's got it, because they all know about her, they all know what she's capable of. But she never doesn't go past them. She always makes a move and she goes past. But what I do love about her is that one touch, she'll just bam, she'll just lay it off.
Her first touch is amazing. It's that same thing that Eze does. And like Phil Foden, someone was saying to me, they think similar. Like, it's that perfectly weighted first touch that is effortless, where it's either taking it out of the feet and away from a defender, or it's just moving enough to get you out the way.
And there was one,
it's unbelievable.
There was one opportunity. I think it was like I said, I think they might have been 3-1 up by now. And Chelsea made a great move on them, and I think it was Cuthbert, she got the ball on the edge of the box, and Lauren James was coming on her right, and the pass she gave her, she ended up over in the other side, and she had to cross it back for Sam Kerr to try and head her. And I'm thinking, those are the little things that you need a little bit more finesse in that respect. But I think that the midfield that they chose for that game was perfect, because they, you know, Man United couldn't get past.
It was robust.
Yeah, it was very robust.
But it depends. Like you say, international break now, it just depends how Manchester United bounce back from that. Well, who they got next after this?
They've got Arsenal, the Emirates on the 19th.
Then Man City.
Yeah, and they which will be a big game. That's a big game for Arsenal as well. Huge game. And then they've got the Manchester derby on the 11th of December. So they got two big games. I think that's just the academy ground, usual. Yeah. But the Arsenal game's at the Emirates. I think they've sold 30,000 tickets already. Mm. I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
I feel nervous.
Quick shout for Arsenal top as well.
Now they're only the only team with a perfect record still.
Yep. Yeah.
But then you look at Arsenal. We look really good at the moment. But like, we've played Brighton, Tottenham, Reading, Liverpool, West Ham, Leicester. Games that we should have been winning.
And it's the same thing. It's like I can't really take.
I don't want to take anything away from the fact that they've won those.
Yeah, but I can't really take any like title talk or unbeaten invincibles talk seriously yet, because
you're on a mad negative one today.
These games, it only counts when you in this league when you beat your rivals.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you do, and like obviously Arsenal's season became unravelled against Birmingham last season. So there is that. But if they're gonna win, they're gonna have to beat one of those teams. Mm-hmm.
And you know something? When you look at like no Leah, no Rafaela, Kim Little now.
Yep.
You know, so that's
that's the kind of like absentees that you think, okay, you need them.
Yeah, but actually,
so it's going to be interesting. Yeah, to see
the, yeah, to be fair, they've done really well. Lotta's been playing really well. They have been playing well.
And now Jordan's been. She's just come out.
Is she injured again?
Yeah, she's just come out of the England squad. So
from one Arsenal legend to another.
Okay, right. So everybody in England knows that that is the music for Strictly Come Dancing. There's a Strictly Come Dancing in
Dancing with the Stars.
But like, so that is that's the music for it. And obviously, I went the other day because Tony Adams, my captain and leader, is in there dancing.
You know, I love him though.
Yeah, he's so cute.
You know,
I love him.
And you know, the first week I was very nervous watching it. And every week since I've been very nervous watching it because I still think I have to give him a maximum amount of respect because he's taken himself totally out of his comfort zone and he's doing something that is every single day a massive, massive challenge for him.
100%. He looks like he's enjoying it though.
He is enjoying it. I think he's putting a brave face on enjoying it because I think that what I saw this week, the way he danced was probably the most nervous he's been.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good week for Tony. Well,
like, okay, can we... It's not been a good week ever for Tony.
No, but Jeanette,
he's on a journey.
He's on a journey.
And I love watching him.
He looked like he'd been improving since the first week when he was terrible.
But this one...
But man, I gave him like 3 out of 10 in there. Yeah,
this week, it really fell apart. Like, he completely forgot the routine and he was like lost out there. But he had been doing better.
But can I just say, Flo,
being there,
you can see because... We're at a stage now where the dancers, when you're listening to the judges, they're going on little things. Oh, your feet were out there. They should have been in. Oh, you landed on your toes. You should have landed on your toes. It weren't your heels and stuff like that. You're clumping down instead of coming down. And so this was all happening before Tony came on, right? So you hear him talking like that. So when Tony came on and then Tony finished, and then I heard Anton Debeck go, Tony.
Oh God!
Fucking hell, man.
Jesus Christ!
My heart, you know, like my heart sank. My heart sank. All I was worried about was Tony just doing his steps. He got through it, and I thought, well, that's it. But the votes, man.
Arsenal fans are not going to leave him.
They're not going to leave him.
I don't think it's just Arsenal fans. I think people are looking at him and saying, you know what? This man's on a journey.
Yeah.
He's one of the bravest dancers out there because he clearly cannot do that kind of dance to that level. So if you're putting yourself out there every Saturday night, like for the level of criticism, I rate it so highly. So I'll vote for him. Do you know what I mean? Let's have a good time.
He's a lovable dad.
And you
figure.
See the concentration in his face when he's going.
Yeah, but the dancing, look, they've got to a stage now with the dancing where it worries me because I don't want next week, and I hear next week he's doing the jive.
Come on.
That's a quick feat with my man's knees. So, you know, so he done the salsa this week and things. So I don't know what's going on with him and the... jive. I just pray that he just does it well enough.
He's done well. How many people are still left?
Well,
like,
I was
going to
say, do you know what though? It's like it's quite good people left.
Yeah.
So it's like he stands out even more. Yeah. Like Fleur East, she's pretty good. Like she's fit as well.
Yeah.
Hamza, who's from like a nature program, cameraman.
The children's
he's amazing
program.
At dancing. Yeah. Like amazing. He's a natural. He's so light on his feet. Yeah. He feels the music. But, Helen Skelton, former Blue Peter, she's pretty
They're
good.
They're all good.
Like we're getting to crunch time here.
But he's still there.
But can I just say,
you see the difference when it's like people really know what they're doing, and then Tony comes.
Yeah, but then can I just say, in that respect, and I totally agree with you because I thought those dancers danced fantastically. And like I say, they were very much nitpicking the judges. But what people have to understand with Tony Adams is what the Arsenal fans and Tony, what Arsenal means to Tony Adams, and what Tony Adams means to those Arsenal fans. They have been through with that guy. Through highs and very, very lows.
Vote for him, man.
Right? And
keep him in.
They are not going to let him be up there and not
keep
support him in there because that love is too strong. And that is why, as much as people might say, oh, it's embarrassing, that's ridiculous, Arsenal fans, stop doing it. They're not going to stop.
No,
and I don't
man.
Want them to stop.
Keep voting.
Simply because that's what it's about. The bond and the unity with Tony and those fans and that is why they will continue to vote for him. And it doesn't matter if he trips her fucking up.
It takes
her out one time.
You know what though? You guys missed. I think it was not. It wasn't the one just gone because I was a Souser. But I think the week before they did the Charleston, which was his best one. He was actually really good at the Charleston, and he did nearly drop her.
Do you know, Flo? I'm actually, I'm amazed at your Strictly Come Dancing fandom.
Really, like,
you
love it. I'm a super fan. I'm a super fan. I love it.
Can we give Tony flowers?
Yeah,
100%. Give him all of the flowers.
And who else are we going to give flowers to?
We're talking to someone who's actually been on one of these programs because we were talking before we came and started recording about which ones we would do. I would do both I'm a Celebrity, for those that don't know, another big reality show in England where celebs go out into Australia actually done the show.
Did you enjoy it though,
Ian? Strictly.
Did you enjoy The Jungle?
No, it's not a thing to enjoy. I can enjoy it now because I can look back and now I watch these guys going in there. And I know what they're up against, and they've got no clue what they're up against, right?
What was the worst bit?
The food.
I think the hunger. Yeah. The hunger and the fatigue.
I would really struggle with
that. That's what gets you. Then people want to vote to see you under duress. But what happens
under
with
duress.
That?
It's true though, man.
But what happens with that is that you get a bond with the people that you're in there, and people have to understand you are genuinely starving. Yeah. You're starving.
I'd be so hungry.
So what happens is with the tasks and why you see a unity with the people and a camaraderie is because everybody knows how hungry everyone is. So when you go and do it, as much as it's entertainment for people, you know that when I got in there, especially with me and James Askell, especially in Nadine, we knew that getting the food for people. So there's things I've done, like I had to do the thing with the rats and that.
Oh.
When I had to go under the water and do magnet stuff. When we was in the dark and me and James were linked together. But what gets you through that is the fact that you're going to get some food, some fucking shit food. But you're going to get food. But what I love about Jill Scott.
We knew she was going to be a star.
And Charlene White, right, was the way that these women just say,
came together.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what we've got to do. And my brother,
Bubba, today. Oh shit.
I'm going to listen.
He doesn't get any flowers.
Listen.
He doesn't get any flowers.
Let me tell you something. What he's got to understand, it doesn't matter what he does. I don't care how funny he is. I don't know what he does afterwards in that. That is what he will be remembered for, right? It's the first one. And let me tell you something, what I know about my brother there, right? Because it happened to me at home, right? When Charlene went out and then she stood there and my guy was next and he saw the plank retract.
Man said, nah.
Man was out. Plank checks out.
I can see.
But wait, because I need to give you the real inside.
Okay.
Inside, because I've been on there and you can't understand because you've got these harnesses on, but you can't feel them. You feel like you're still just yourself. You haven't got no support. And you look around and all you could feel is the wind and you could look down.
It was a windy day as well.
Very windy.
Windy.
And do you remember the bit in it when he was saying, lift your foot? That is a thing. I remember being on there, right? And something happens in your brain.
Our American listeners are going to be like so confused.
There's something that happens in your head, the brain that's meant to send a message. Yeah. It doesn't, because I remember trying, I'm trying to lift my foot. I couldn't lift
and
it.
And it's like, it goes against every human survival instinct.
Exactly.
Like you're standing there. On the ledge.
Yeah. On the ledge.
Even when I've been rock climbing, my legs shake.
Right. Shaking.
Really, so then what happens is that even now, like I'm caning him because you have to do it.
You have to get it done.
That's the first one.
So in the end, I got there right to the edge. And then you have to wait for a while. And then you have to do that thing to press it. But they had to go down again.
And then hold it.
When you saw Charlene go out, I was saying, sits.
Well done. Charlene and Jill. But Jill was amazing.
You know what? Jill made me cry. I was crying when she was going, come on, Charlene. You got this.
Yep.
You're a champion. You got this. Yeah. One step. I was like,
she's the queen. Jesus. She's going to win.
She's amazing. I think Jill will win it,
Jill Scott will win this. Because
you know what? I was going to put a bet on her when they announced
it. She's only 4-1.
And they've suspended betting now.
They have.
That's how much of a favourite she is. She was 4-1. Now you can't even bet on her.
She is going to be amazing. Because when you speak to everybody that's been around her, she is one of the most dedicated. She's proper.
She
leaves no stone unturned,
and you can see she's a leader with it as well. Do you know what
I remember when I was speaking to her again, and she spoke about that last box to box run with her medal on.
And I can't, nothing can stop me from loving Jill Scott so much and what she, and her being there, even just seeing her come on with that smile, what she's got, it just instantly makes me happy. She is, if she doesn't win that, something drastically wrong has got to happen, because there's no one in this country that cannot fall in love with Jill Scott. Yeah. Not one of
I'm
you.
I'm just loving the vibes between Jill, Charlene, and then that girl, that woman off Corrie, who I've never heard of called Sue.
Sue's
they're just
great.
Like the gals hanging out, the mums. Mm. They're just like,
they're having a great
they're
time.
They're so cute together.
You know what was really
and
good?
Like,
the first
so
one.
So cuddly,
when,
I love it.
The first one when she had to go and get the fisheye business. It reminded me of like, you know, like how my mum used to just like, when the stuff was in the sink and she would just be
just taking it out.
Just taking it out and talking to somebody.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I always said, you know what, I don't like watching it. It brings back kind of horrible kind of anxiety in my stomach. But there's people in there that I genuinely like. If Jill Scott came out like next week or whatever it is, she's
do you know what's funny as well about her is I love the way that she's really excited to be there.
Yeah.
Like I watched last night and she was just lying in her bunk bed and she was like, oh, I can't believe I'm in the jungle.
Can you remember the first time she tried to get into her bunk? She figured out she was fair right. That is her in a nutshell. So I'm happy. But like,
and
you
when
know,
they
she's
were
got...
trying to spell Coco Van, the challenge last night, and she was like, Van. Cock, C-O-C-K.
C-O-Q,
the guy from Hollyoaks was like, is it? So Jill be good.
So Jill Scott for Queen of the Jungle.
100%.
Tony Adams for King
Queen
of the Dance Floor.
Queen of our hearts.
Oh my God.
Flowers for Jill Scott, man. Okay, so that's it for another podcast, ladies. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jeanette Kwashi. Yay! Thanks very much, Flo Lloyd Hughes.
Yay!
Flo, Vex Flow!
Vex Flow!
Make me see Vex Flow next
week. Do we need to
you
give
you
a nickname?
You know what it is? It's QPR.
QPR,
they're not top.
Are they pissing you off?
Flo's Vex.
Flo, just one last thing.
Go on.
Like, England, come on, Flo. You got to get behind them.
Maybe once the football starts. All right, right now, I'm feeling a bit meh.
Nice one. Okay. Take it. See you soon?
Yeah.
Nice one. Thanks, well. See you soon, Jeanette.
Bye.
Thanks to Jeanette. Thanks to Flo. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week, getting close to the World Cup, and there's still games going on. I'm confused, but that's the way it is. I'll see you next week, everybody. Take it easy. Bye.